Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Let him labor, that he may have to give to him that needeth, Ephesians. They shall not labor in vain, for they are the seed of the Lord, blessed of the Lord, Isaiah. The work of our hand, the sweat of our brow, it builds our character, reveals purpose and struggle, and adds meaning to life. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for man. In Colossians. The work of God is at work in you, and that on this Labor Day weekend in which we close the summer of 2019 and begin the fall, it is the work of God to whom we give thanks and glory. How beautiful his name is. And in the work of your life is the work that began when you were conceived and in your mother's womb, is the work of God from the day you were born until the day you die, is the work of God through the resurrection of Jesus and for all eternity. The work of God is holy and good, and we have a problem called sin. And in this problem called sin, we have needed the Messiah's rescue. So God came as one of us in Christ Jesus into the world to set us free from our sin-sick life. And then he has empowered his presence to us. That's called the Holy Spirit. And as we step into the promises of God in which our work is our way of saying thank you, in which our work is our effort that we put forth in life in response to his grace. Because God will do what only God can do, so that we will do what only we can do. God empowers us through his indwelling presence. That is the Spirit-filled life. This is possible because of God's great love for us. Gary and Arlene began in their scripture reading out of Ephesians 2:4 with this magnificent statement, because of God's great love for us. That is why God does what he does, why he works as he performs his love in our life. His hope in creating the heavens and the universe, that it would catch the awe and wonder of everyone and see his love at work in creation. But there is that sin problem again. And so Jesus did the work on the cross of Calvary, having taught and lived and shown the power of God through his life. And then in his resurrection, he unfolded the power of the Spirit. When he wrote the great resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, the first written account of the reason why God gave us resurrection. And the last verse of this long chapter, Paul wrote, therefore, since all the resurrection is true, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For your labor in the Lord is not in vain. J.E. Willingham, a long-term member of our church, who was a global leader for Exxon, who had been a prisoner in World War II in the Pacific on the worst of circumstances, died this past Friday at the age of 98, 7 months and 11 days. He wasn't asking for an additional day. He wasn't hanging on to say, this is not fair. My life is coming to an end on earth. Instead, he gave thanks to God for his long life. And we give thanks to God that he labored well in helping with a global economy and doing his life faithfully. And that in the midst of the Holy Spirit's resurrection power, now the work of God is taking him into the story and the adventure of creation. As we allow then God to fill our lives with his Spirit, we're also stepping into the promises of two books of the Bible. You put them together and they're only 10 chapters. They're the books of Ephesians, 6 chapters, the book of Philippians, 4 chapters. They were both written while Paul was in prison. And while Paul was in prison in the story that he unfolded, he tells the story of the wonder Because God is victorious through His great love, and the Spirit of God is with us, we can win regardless of whatever. And therefore, the Spirit enables us to heal wounds, overcome evil, build unity in the church, cast hope in the world, and shape the family, and rise above any circumstances of life. Sounds too good to be true, maybe. Kind of like in the barber's chair where I sit now in San Antonio. Our barber has a kind of a throwback poster from the 1890s, in which there was that magic oil of tricophorus. And if you use this magic oil, it would let your hair to grow when bald. And along the way, it could heal any disease to your liver and handle other things along the way. It was that magic potion. The power of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, it's not a false promise, nor is it a magic potion. It is the effort of grace and work come together from our life to do all the things that I just highlighted. Or another way to say it is how Paul wrote about it in Philippians 1:6. This is an incredible verse of a promise. He's just opened up a chapter in which he has said, I love you, Philippians. You've been my dearest friends, and you're supportive of me. You haven't forgotten me while I've been in prison under the guard of Caesar. And so I want you to know this, that I'm convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you, that God who began a good work in you, will continue until the very day of Jesus Christ, right up into the time of his return, developing that good work, perfecting it, and bringing it to a completion in you. Oh, Trinity. Oh, worshipers. Stepping into the experience of what God is doing in our life right now, seeking to perfect it and to complete it to the very time. A good friend of mine is Doug, and Doug is he's a professor at Baylor University. We were PhD buddies and colleagues during our seminary days, and Doug Weaver and I were offices were right next to each other. And we'll see the photo of him now. I was with him on Tuesday. I wanted to simply slip by his office while I was on the Baylor campus where he's been teaching for 15 years to thank him for his thick work. He's a historian on Baptists and the Holy Spirit. But I wanted to thank him not just for the academic work. I thanked him because of how he was a page turner. I mean, it was like a novel in which you want to get to the next page. It's telling the story of how the Spirit of God has been at work through the course of our history and what can come next. The power of what Doug looks at is the story of all the problems that we've created around the Holy Spirit and how we've abused the name of the Spirit and how we've used it like a magic potion. And some have been arrogant and filled with pride around the Spirit, and others have wanted to stay away from it because they can't control it. And the sense of the key to the Spirit is what I've shared with you is yielding. But while I was with my friend Doug for an hour in his office, we caught up on his life, and as I'd been praying with him, I asked how he was feeling because he's been in and out of treatment of MD Anderson for a decade. In 2018, the year that this book was released, the very week that it was released, he went to MD Anderson to have a kidney removed. The cancer had moved into that region of his body, followed up by some additional chemotherapy, and some of you are on this journey, have been on this journey. And in the midst of it all, he could feel the Spirit's power. In the midst of the work of the suffering in his life, he could feel the hope of the Spirit. In feeling the fear and the anxiety, the not knowing what comes next. And with Doug's permission, I tell you this, he's had these tubes in and out of his body for months, and he's had this kind of email connector to his port. And the updates from the doctor get transcribed and then sent to him directly onto his email port. And when it dings at 3 a.m, he wonders whether he should read the report. And he can't help himself, and so he does. At times the report says treatment being very successful. At times it will say concerned about lack of progress. And all the while, and the power of the Spirit of the resurrected Christ with him, he yields in that prayer at that moment and again leans into the promises of God. See, it's not enough to know about Jesus, it's to accept Jesus. It's not enough to know about Jesus' work through this the Holy Spirit, but it's to allow the Spirit to fill our lives. And so this brief message is to then tell us the two keys for that to happen. Two words, grace and work. The power of grace, God doing what only God can do. The power of work, our doing what only we can do. It is grace that creates the breakthrough, and it is work that is the effort of saying thank you and our trusting by the actions of our life. This does include our job work. It does include maybe where we get our paychecks or compensation. But the work, understanding of work used hundreds of times in the Bible includes job work, but it is much more than job work. It is your whole being. It is your whole life. It is your talent used into the enriching of our world in the marketplace of life. So before I began to read the scripture of the film clip that opened my sermon, there were 8 quotes from a wide variety of people speaking about the honor of the work of our life, making a difference in our world. So how does it unfold as grace? The first part of this movement of God in which we can have a spirit-filled life through the work of our life, it begins with grace, for grace is our one hope, but it is the only hope we need. Breaking through from transgression to transformation, from sin into grace, from lost into being found, the gift of God is by grace that we have received. The fulfillment of Christ's resurrection. That is, because Christ has overcome, we may overcome, but we have to let this grace take root in our life to grow roots deep inside of us and to fill us then with that promise in our life. I shared with Doug, and he shared with me that many years ago, in which we were writing our dissertations next to each other, we were both writing in the areas of the Holy Spirit. We were both writing about how it is the Spirit has been trusted and abused in the life of the church and the life of people of history. But both of our works ended up with the word of hope, that it is the Spirit-filled life in which the hope of God stirs us into the completion of His promise in our world. In a real sense, it's what gets us out in the morning and gives us promise through the course of each day. So Paul wrote about it this way in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It's among the most loved verses, at least among Baptists, but among millions and millions of Christians. It is for by grace that you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The part there about not of works is saying the beginning is the beginning. The beginning is not works. Works is the way of saying thank you. Works is the result of the grace. And the grace taking root in our life transforms our motivation and our attitude and this Spirit of God inside of us, where then we just say yes and let it unfold in our life. Now, that doesn't mean that every time I need to do something around the house, Vicky always sees a smile on my face. It doesn't mean that every time that a need comes my way that I know I am to respond to, that I'm able to get myself to the best place in my attitude immediately. But because if this work is connected to a purpose of love, and this work is connected to the purpose of Christ being known in our world, then eventually God shapes my attitude and puts my life into gear to put out the effort so that He might work through me. And you allow Him to work through you. We never retire from this kind of grace work. We may retire one day from our job where we've gotten paychecks, but we never retire from the work of God in our life. And this work then takes us into the promise of Ephesians 2:10. Work is the effort we put into life as God's provided pathway for our fulfillment and His glory. We are God's handiwork. I spent a long time writing that sentence, so I want to give it to you again. Work is the effort we put into life. It's God's provided pathway for our lifetime and the fulfillment and His glory, our effort unto Him. And then He makes clear that we are God's handiwork. So if someone looks at your life, what is your life saying about God's handiwork? Is grace taking a hold where you've yielded to the Spirit and you're becoming adaptable along the way? Have you noticed that your body may not be as agile as it once was earlier in life? And there are ways that our life, we have to work harder at our joints and our muscles to try to keep them as flexible as we need to for our life. And grace in our life lets our body, lets our mind and our soul and our heart, our emotions and our thinking and our spiritual being to be agile, even when our bodies may become stiffer. But if we don't forgive, we become stiff. We become less agile. The work of the Holy Spirit, being inspired by the Spirit, is saying, I will forgive you. Jesus said even 7 times 70. Really? That wasn't 7 times 70 to keep doing the same thing, but it's the sense of the grace to the work. I'm giving you another opportunity and trying to coach you in a way that you may do this differently and not in the same way. And therefore, I give you the grace and work of forgiveness 7 times 70. Or when Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, neither do I condemn you, grace, go and sin no more, work. Neither do I condemn you, Savior, go and sin no more, allow my Spirit to fill you in this grace so that your life will honor the grace that has been given to you. So we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus. To do good works is how He said it in Ephesians 2:10, good works, which God has prepared as our pathway, prepared in advance for us to do. This kind of work is a good thing. This kind of work lets us know we're alive. It's the effort that we put into living. But the Spirit-filled life then allows this grace and indwelling presence so that our effort in living is revealed by our actions and our attitude and the tone in which we speak and the smiles that we will show, the tears from which we can heal, that we ourselves are a demonstration of the promises of God in this world. So be confident and sure of this very thing. The God who began a good work in you through Christ Jesus continues to perform this work, perfect this work, right until the day of His return. For you can know He brings this victory in you through a Spirit-filled life. Oh Lord, we are grateful for the gift that You give us now. It's the gift of our saying yes. It's a gift of an effort on our part to yield to You, to give faith, our openness, our faith in trusting in You right now. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.